I'm going to be preaching from the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. I don't have a ton to say, but what I do say is very important. And it's not important because I'm saying it. It's important because God said it. And that's why I need to say it. The Bible says in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue from tormenting in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. With the help of the Holy Spirit of God, this morning, I'd like to preach a message entitled, I Must Preach on Hell. Father, I pray that you will help me as I preach on a subject that few are preaching on anymore. Yet a subject that you preached on more than the subject of heaven. I pray that you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach with us, saith the Lord. Bind Satan and put a hedge of protection about this place. Change us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There are a number of subjects in conversations, in leisure settings, and sadly to say, even in churches that have become taboo. There are things we don't like to discuss, things we don't like to deal with, things folks don't like to bring up, that avoiding them does not change the reality of them. We are living in a world today that is off on a lot of subjects. I don't know that there's a subject that they are more off on than the subject I'm dealing with today. But for the child of God, this subject needs to be discussed as well. For those of us who know the Lord, born again by the Spirit of God, been washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For those of us who have our sins forgiven, our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. For those of us who have a ticket that's been purchased into heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ and will never spend a second in a place called hell. We still need to talk about this. Sad to say, the most popular messages today avoid this subject. the greatest of orators today refused to deal with this subject, and yet the greatest preacher that ever graced planet Earth spent a lot of time talking about this subject. It's a real subject. It's a legitimate subject. It's an important subject. It's a subject that must be addressed. It's a subject that you must take a position on. It's a subject you cannot avoid. It's something that you cannot deny. It's something that you cannot put away. It is the truth of the Word of God. It is a fact. It is a legitimacy. It is, my friend, something that will never change. And that is why, as a gospel preacher, as a Bible preacher, in 2014, regardless of whether people like it or not, regardless of whether they're comfortable with it or not, regardless of whether it makes people squirm or not, regardless of it makes people scared or not, it is incumbent upon me as a preacher of the Word of God, in preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God, to preach on hell. May God help us. I want to take a passage of Scripture, Luke 16, which many have brushed away as a fictitious parable. But I want to tell you a real story that Jesus told. Something that really happened. Parables were not nearly as specific as this one. Parables were told about certain men and certain person and went to certain country. Parables were generalized. This is not a parable. This is a real story. They're named. At least one of them is. I want to talk about this today. And regardless of where you stand in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to deal with this subject. It needs to phase you. It needs to mold the way you act. It needs to change the way you behave. It needs to affect the way you live. You see, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's a Sunday or a Wednesday or one of the days betwixt the two, my friend, you and I should be affected by this subject. We should be moved by this subject. We should be changed by this subject. We should be motivated by this subject. We should be stirred by this subject. I must, and by the grace of God, I shall preach on hell. I'm going to give you four things about hell that I see in this passage of Scripture, and I won't be long. But I want you to deal with it. I want you to do something about these four things. I'm going to give you four facts. What if I don't agree with them? I said I'm going to give you four facts. Facts have never been facts based on your belief. Facts are facts because they're facts. Believing them will help you, but believing them doesn't make them facts. Somebody say amen. Give you four facts about hell today. With the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, the position denied on hell. The position denied on hell. We look here in this story and we find a rich man. This rich man, the Bible says, was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He was a gaudy, self-sufficient, showy rich man that had no problem letting everybody know he had stuff. But I want you to notice, as we look at this position denied on hell, and even more so in this day and age, I find that this position is denied by those who will take an adamant dismissal of the subject. In other words, they'll just say, I don't believe in hell. There is no hell. We're living in hell. God wouldn't send people to hell. Once you die, it's all over. You can say that all you want to, and that's why the word hell has been imposed into our language to mean everything as except for what God intended it to mean. It's a prefix to cuss words. It's a word we use when we can't come up with anything else to say. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, people can deny it. People can dismiss it. But my friend, they're going to have to deal with it. But I think many don't deny hell just in an adamant dismissal, but they deny hell in what I call an apathetic demonstration. They live carelessly like there is no hell. They treat life like there is no hell. They sit in church like there is no hell. Here was a rich man. A rich man had wicked practices, had worldly pursuits, had
wrong priorities. You say, how do you know that? The Bible says he was clothed in fine linen and purple, and he fared sumptuously every day. And the Bible tells us where he woke up. So it says to me, he had all the things that the world could offer, but he didn't have what God had offered. He gained the things on paper, but he was missing what he needed in his heart. And ladies and gentlemen, our world today has put far too much emphasis on materialism and on things and on philosophy and on education and on getting ahead and on social ladder and in success that the world labels as a must-have. Ladies and gentlemen, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm simply saying to you today, you may not open your mouth and say, I don't believe in hell, but when you live every day like you'll be here forever and you pursue the things of the world and you're chasing new threads and new cars and bigger things and fairer things, and when you're trying to get ahead in life instead of honoring God, you're acting like there is no hell. And sad to say, there's a denied, there's a position that's denied. There are people today, by the way, even many of them under the guise of religion. Amen. People like the Jehovah's Witness will deny the existence of hell. Yeah. And listen, you know what that is? That's calling God a liar. Amen. You know what it is? It's prolonging the inevitable. You know what it is? It's living like life has no consequences. It's sowing, thinking I'll never reap. It is making God something that he's not. And there are those that would intend and contend that only a loving God would send people to heaven. God wouldn't send anybody to hell because God is too loving for that. But ladies and gentlemen, yes, God is loving, but God is also holy. God is also perfect, and he'll never allow sin into heaven. And so, ladies and gentlemen, yes, you must take the right position on hell. Number two, the place described as hell. Notice the Bible says Lazarus died and was carried. The rich man died and was buried. The rich man died and went. Lazarus died and was taken. See, when you don't know the Lord, you end up somewhere. But when you know the Lord, you get escorted somewhere. Somebody say amen. The rich man died and was buried. Lazarus died and was carried. And he woke up in a place. What kind of place? A place of suffering continuation. I want you to listen to the Bible. The Bible says in Revelation 20:13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. Revelation 14:11, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Matthew 16:26 and 27, he shall lose his own soul even if he gain the whole world. Revelation 19:20, the beast that was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he delivered them that received the mark of the beast and that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake burning with fire and brimstone. Look at Matthew 13:50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 20:6, blessed is he that hath the part in the first resurrection. On the second death hath no power. Acts 2:27, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer the Holy One to see corruption. John 5:29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, the resurrection of damnation. Matthew 5:22, the Bible says this fool is in danger of the council and in danger, my friend, of the hell fire. Notice Acts 2:31, Jesus did not have his soul left in hell. 1 Thessalonians says in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them which know not God. Ladies and gentlemen, we could go on and on. The Bible says where the worm dieth not. The Bible says utter darkness. The Bible says a bottomless pit where you're forever falling and falling and falling and falling. I heard somebody say, I'm going to hell. All my friends are there. You'll have no friends in hell. This guy had everything on earth. He got to hell.
He's all by himself.
Burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Utter darkness. The scientists say yellow fire is hot, orange fire is hot, blue fire is hotter. Scientists say the hottest fire you can have is black fire. The Bible says hell is utter darkness, where the worm dieth not. He said there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, the grinding and the grinding, the grinding, the grinding, the grinding of pain and the grinding of sorrow, that one goes on and on and on as he tries to tolerate something that will never end, something that will never stop, something that will never cease, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Here is a man that while he was on earth, he fared sumptuously every day, but he woke up in a hell of suffering continuation. But not only that, solitary confinement, there's a great goal fixed. 10 the most difficult challenge in hell is no God. No God. No God. You may not talk to him today, but in hell you can't talk to him. No God. There's a great goal fixed. He threw parties while he was alive, had many friends with him. I'm sure he had many elite clubs that he went to and many places that only his money would let him get into. But in hell, there's no money with you. In hell, there are no friends with you. In hell, there are no partying with you. Listen, you party all you want to now, you won't party in hell. I was witnessing years ago and told these young men, if you die today, do you know 100% for sure that you'd go to heaven and not go to hell? He yelled back to me, I don't believe in heaven because I'm living in hell. I talked to someone last night and the person told me, he said, when my life got so low, I thought I was in hell. I thought I had died and gone to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, the worst day on planet Earth can compare to what we would call the best day in hell. You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing on this earth that can compare to hell. I'm talking about the heat of hell, the horror of hell, the hunger of hell. Isaiah said, hell hath enlarged itself, and every day more and more are going to hell. Solitary confinement. Notice the sorrowful cry. Abraham! Don't give me a bottle of water. Just give me a drop. Send Lazarus. Let him just dip the tip of his finger. And just give me a drop. I want you to hear this man crying. He's so famished. He's so desperate. He's so hot. He's so miserable. He said, oh, if I could just get a drop. If I could just get a drop, ladies and gentlemen, that's a sorrowful cry. There's nothing fun about being in hell. This is what God says about hell. This is what Jesus says about hell. This is what the Bible says about hell. Is this what you believe about? Sad consequences. No. Lazarus can't bring you water. Now here's the amazing thing. He paid Lazarus no mind while he was alive. But now he wants Lazarus after he died. He didn't pray while he was alive, but he's praying now. He didn't proclaim while he was alive, but he's praying now. Ladies and gentlemen, in hell, the sorrowful cry is only answered by sad consequences. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late to pray when you get to hell. It's too late to proclaim when you get to hell. It's too late to preach when you get to hell. It's too late to practice when you get to hell. Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? I'm saying that everybody in hell believes in hell. People say, I don't believe in hell. I say, everybody there does. In flaming fire. Can you imagine the bottomless pit prepared for the devil and his demons? That's why God made it. But rejecting man Number three. By the way, before I move on, this suffering continuation, this solitary confinement, this sorrowful cry, these sad consequences, let me draw your attention to two words that Abraham said to the rich man. Verse 25, son, remember. That tells me that this suffering continuation in hell, this solitary confinement in hell, this sorrowful cry in hell, these sad consequences in hell are also met with a sure consciousness in hell. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You will not lose your memory of this message when you get to hell. Gospel messages will remember, be remembered. God sent messengers will be remembered. Listen to me. It's amazing. He didn't listen to what Abraham said about Jesus, but he knew who Abraham was. He didn't listen to what Lazarus said, but he knew who Lazarus was. And ladies and gentlemen, if you reject Jesus Christ and end up in the devil's hell, you will remember Pastor Baldwin preaching this message. You remember every gospel tract you read. You remember every time somebody told you about Jesus. You remember every radio station you heard about the Lord. You remember every song you heard about the cross. You remember every time that I said, if you're not saved, come meet one of these people on the side of the building. You remember every Bible verse you heard about heaven. You remember every truth you heard about salvation. You remember every song you heard about the blood. You remember everything you heard about grace. You'll be reminded about mercy. You'll be reminded about God's long suffering. You'll be reminded about God's pardon. You'll be reminded about God's forgiveness. And the most agonizing thought in hell is that I remember that I didn't have to come here. But I'm here. I'm here. Son, remember. You remember that beggar that just wanted some crumbs from your table? You were too much of something to give him anything. And now you want just a drop from him. Ladies and gentlemen, you better listen while you're here, because you cannot respond when you're there. Number three, the position denied on hell. Act like it doesn't exist. The place described as hell, suffering, continuation, solitary confinement, sorrowful cry, sad consequences, sure consciousness. Now, number three, the people destined for hell. Who goes to hell? Number one, precious family. Who goes to hell? Every member of your family doesn't know Jesus. This somebody's daddy. This rich man, somebody's son. Somebody's brother, somebody's uncle, somebody's cousin. I want you to pause and think this morning. Think about the confinement in hell. Think about the pain in hell. Think about the sorrow in hell. Think about the misery in hell. Think about the darkness in hell. Think about the confinement in hell. Think about the falling in hell. Think about the endlessness in hell and ask yourself, you want your mama there? You want your daddy there? You want your brother there? You want your sister there? You want your daughter there? You want your son there? You want your grandmama there? Your granddaddy there? You want your cousin there? Real people go to hell, not Looney Tune characters. Precious family. Watch this now. Personal friends go to hell. I have some there. Unless they got right with God, and I don't know about it. And by the way, when I preach a funeral, there are two things I don't try to do because I know I can't do. That's preach somebody into heaven or preach somebody out of hell. I never seen so many funerals where devils get labeled like angels because they died. And 5 days ago, this joker was worthless. But now that we're sentimental, he loved everybody. He loved Jesus. He's out of pain. And he's running around the streets of gold. Now, I'm not saying you ought to get up there and tell him he's burning in hell. But you shouldn't tell him he's dancing in heaven if he's in hell. And I don't care how much power of God you think you got on you, Reverend. You can't preach anybody into heaven, and you can't preach anybody out of hell. I've never tried to do it, never claimed that I could. That decision has to be made before you breathe your last breath. Preachers don't get anybody to heaven, and preachers don't get anybody out of hell. They point them to Jesus. He's the only one that can save your soul from hell. Somebody say amen. Precious friends, I'd like to ask a question. Out of all of the conversations that you had with your friends this week, did hell come up? Well, there just wasn't a convenient time for it. What time is inconvenient? For life is like a vapor. It appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this and that. Now you rejoice in your boastings. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, wake him up, please. To him it is sin. To him it is sin. No, you're going to have to do a little better job than that. You're going to have to, yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. God bless you. I'm preaching on hell. You need to hear this, son. God help us. God help us. Here's a young man. He'd have known it better. Some grown folks sleep through message on here. You know better. You just don't care. You'd be the loudest one screaming down there. Personal friends. Friends we talk to score about. Friends we talk politics with. Friends we watch the ball game with. Friends we play ball with. Friends we had a lot in common. Friends we went shopping with. Friends we went on vacation with. Friends we had on Facebook. Friends we tweeted every day. Friends we spent hours on the phone talking with. Friends we had so much in common. Friends we invited to our house. Friends we stayed in the hotel room. Friends we spent all this time together, but not one time did we look at that friend and say, I don't want you in hell. What kind of friend are you? Petty foes. By the way, by my statement of petty foes, I mean this. When it comes to hell, any ought you have with an enemy becomes petty compared to eternal destiny. Listen, I don't want my enemies to go to hell. I don't want the people to get on my nerves to go to hell. I don't want my haters to go to hell. I don't want people to dislike me to go to hell. I don't want bigots to go to hell. I don't want racists to go to hell. I don't even want terrorists to go to hell. I want folks to get saved by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, my friend, hell, it does not have any favorites. It doesn't have any biases. It doesn't have any particulars. It doesn't have a quota to meet of each nationality. It takes the young and the old. It takes the rich and the poor. It takes the black and the white. It takes the educated and the ignorant. It takes this and that and the other. It doesn't matter where you're from, where you're going, who you are, what you're used to, what language you speak. Without Christ, you go to hell. And you know what? If I believed the hell of the Bible, I would never say to a person, go to hell. Have you ever said that? Don't nod your head. Don't tell us your business. We want to think well of you. If you're embarrassed, let God embarrass you. How about it? If we really understand the Bible, who in the world we want in hell? Who in the world we want in hell? And then I just put plain folk. That means people we don't know, they go to hell. People we never met before, they go to hell. People that don't mean much to us, but they mean something to somebody. People that commit suicide, that didn't know Jesus. I said that didn't know Jesus, go to hell. Suicide don't send you to hell. Being unsaved send you to hell. Well, they always told me if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. Give me a scripture and verse. Stop making up theories. If it ain't in the Bible, keep it to yourself. You just commit suicide, you going to hell, because ain't nobody commit suicide going to go to heaven. Sin is sin. You don't go to hell because of what sin you commit. You go to hell because your sin isn't paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and the payment is not applied to your account by putting your faith. Somebody help me preach. 1.8 people die every second. 1.8 people. 106 of them die a minute. 6,392 people die an hour. 153,424 people die a day. 4,679,452 people die a month, and 56 million people die a year. I wonder how many of them go to hell. 56 million. 2/3 of the world has never heard a clear presentation of how to go to heaven. And according to Romans chapter 1, they go to hell if they don't know Christ. Lastly, and I'm finished. Position denied on hell. The place described as hell. The people destined for hell. But lastly, the procedure demanded concerning hell.
If it's real, and it is. If they go there, and they do. What am I going to do about it?
Number one, you're going to have some concerned interest. You're going to have to start getting concerned about people headed there. You're getting quiet on me. Pastor, I got too many problems to be worried about somebody else. You better be glad that somebody else's problems didn't bear them so down that they couldn't worry about you. You better thank God that somebody looked past their own stress and their own mess and opened an old-fashioned Bible and told you that Jesus died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again. You better thank God that when you show up in church too worn out to keep your eyes open, that some preacher somewhere got enough rest and enough Holy Ghost unction to get behind the pulpit and preach the word of God. You better be glad that when you don't feel like talking to nobody, that somebody felt like talking to you. You better be glad that even when you didn't want to be there, somebody else came there anyway and showed you that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And if you got Jesus, you ought to be giving Jesus to somebody. Amen.
Concerned interest. Number two, compassionate intercession.
Now, here's the rich man praying from hell for his family. And I'm telling you that if you really believe in hell, you better start praying from earth. And I'm going to ask a question. How many people that are lost do you pray for?
That's right.
Yeah, we're getting in our business, ain't we? Well, I didn't get to it because I was so busy praying for a new iPhone and for a better job and for a new house and to get out of debt and I don't feel good.
Preach, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Are you hearing me now?
Yes, sir.
Now, here's the amazing thing. Most of our prayer time is for saved people that are sick going to heaven. And the least of our prayer time is for lost people that are well going to hell. Now, listen, we ought to pray for people that are saved to get healed. But at least if they don't, we know they're going to get healed. Because the moment you get to heaven, you're not sick no more. I wonder on Wednesday nights, when you're kneeling for 10 minutes down here, I wonder how many of you look at the unsaved section and call names.
Somebody called in a name to this church, put them on the prayer list.
And some of you have not prayed for a name on that list in years. We're just Xeroxing them and handing them to you so that you can see whose picture they put on there this week.
That name that you don't know, that name you can't pronounce, that person you never met has a soul headed to hell.
Do you pray? Some of you have mamas and daddies lost. You pray for them? friends lost. You pray for concern, interest. Compassionate intercession. Number three, committed involvement. How often do you share the gospel? How many have a track in your pocket? How often you leave a restaurant, never leave Jesus at the restaurant? How many times have you run your mouth and never mentioned his name? How many people have you invited to a birthday party and never invited them to heaven? Shame on us. If it's burning like he said it's burning, if it's as hot as he said it's hot, if it's as hungry and horrible as he said it's hungry and horrible, if there really is weeping there and gnashing of teeth, if God could link your headphones to the audio from hell, would it make you come on the blitz? Would it make you join a ministry? Could you carve out an hour on a Saturday? Could you loan God 2 hours on a weeknight? Could you get around somebody and learn how to share the gospel? Huh? It's amazing how much time we have for the stuff we want. Would you come back on Sunday nights if God let you hear the audio from hell? Would you make Wednesday night a priority if God let you hear audio from hell? Would you come to Sunday school and learn more about the preaching of the word of God if God showed you audio from hell? Maybe, just maybe, we need to dive into the heart of God and say, let me hear what you hear. If God lets you look, hell at that time, Hades, was there a portion of Abraham's bosom where those that knew the Lord were there and those that did not, their souls of lost people went there. Hades was a place where paradise or Abraham's bosom and hell were both connected. After Jesus resurrected and ascended to heaven, he moved heaven to where God is, and hell is down wherever God has it. Somebody said, do you believe hell is this place? Do you believe hell is that place? Do you believe hell is one place? Listen, I believe hell is where God put it. And I'm not interested in its location. I'm interested in the fact I'm not going and I'm trying to keep everybody else out of there. People spending 5 hours trying to find out where hell is. Forget about where it is. Make sure you ain't going. And make sure everybody you love not going. You can't keep them out, but you can beg them to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm trying to tell you there's a procedure that's demanded concerning hell. Concern, interest, compassionate intercession, committed involvement. And if you're lost, the procedure is you need to change the identity. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You heard the song today. I don't have to be the old man inside of me when I get saved. His day is dead and gone. I'm glad that there's some folks that were weeping today, not because they're lost, but because they're redeemed, that are glad they'll never spend a second in a place called hell. I love Crossroads Baptist Church, but you ain't going to heaven because you're a member here. I enjoy baptizing folks, but you ain't going to heaven because you got baptized. I'm thankful for the Bible, but you ain't going to heaven because you read the Bible. I'm glad I was born in a Christian home, but I ain't going to heaven because I was born in a Christian home. I learned the scripture, but I'm not going to heaven because I memorized scripture. I'm a preacher of the word of God, but I'm not going to heaven because I preach the word of God. I've shown many people how to go to heaven, but I'm not going to heaven because I've shown many people how to go to heaven. Thank God for religion, but religion is man's way trying to get to God. You'll not go to heaven because you're religious. You'll not go to heaven because you give to the poor. You'll not go to heaven because you speak in a tongue. You'll not go to heaven because you took the right hand of fellowship. You'll not go to heaven because you did good. You'll not go to heaven because you keep the law. You'll not go to heaven because you treat people better than you want to be treated yourself. You'll not go to heaven because you try your best to make it in. You'll not go to heaven because your good outweighs your bad. You'll go to heaven when you recognize by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You'll go to heaven when you realize that God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son,
Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You'll not go to heaven because you deserve it. You'll go to heaven because not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You'll not go to heaven because you earned it. You'll go to heaven because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You'll not go to heaven because you're a good person, because the Bible says scarcely for a righteous man some would die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You'll not go to heaven because you're not a sinner, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You'll not go to heaven because you're righteous, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You'll not go to heaven because you're in church, because you're in a good family, because you're in your right mind. You'll go to heaven because you got in the ark of safety. You'll go to heaven because you put your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You'll not go to heaven because you turn over a new leaf, because you rehabilitate yourself, because you kick drugs, you quit smoking, quit cussing, quit chewing, and quit running with those that are doing. You'll go to heaven when you recognize, I can't save myself. I can't get myself out of hell. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not worthy enough. But Jesus Christ is the worthy one who hung and bled on Calvary's cross for the sins of mankind, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You'll go to heaven because Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You'll go to heaven because there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You'll go to heaven because when you're saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You'll go to heaven because you know that when you know Jesus Christ, we have not an earthly tabernacle made with man's hands, but we have a tabernacle in the heavenly, not made by man's hands. You'll go to heaven because when Jesus conquered death, oh death, where is that sting? Oh grave, where is that victory? You'll go to heaven because when you know Christ, the trumpet's going to sound, this mortal shall put on immortality, this corruption shall put on incorruption, then shall the saying be brought to life, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, thanks be to God, which given us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll not go to heaven because you're in church. You'll go to heaven because you're in the family of God. You'll not go to heaven because you walk through them doors. You'll go to heaven because you walk through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. You'll not go to heaven because you're a Republican or a Democrat, because you're black or because you're white. You'll not go to heaven because you're Baptist or Presbyterian. You'll not go to heaven because you talk in tongues or speak several languages. You'll go to heaven because in your own language you heard that Jesus died, he was buried, and that he rose again, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in hell and you're not saved, get saved. Saved. If you're here today and you've never come to grips with Jesus and what he did for you, if for no other reason than because of hell, get saved. Amen. Because around here, whether it's popular or not, whether it's well received or not, whether people want to hear it or not, whether it reaps a lot of amens or not, we're going to deal with it because God said it. And if we really care, we don't want anyone there. Surrounding Crossroads Baptist Church, let me inform you today that this pastor, this church, under the leadership of this Holy Spirit, I must preach on hell. Our Father,